Every day is new. Amen? Would you turn to your, pull your swords out and turn to John chapter 5. Glory. John chapter 5. In verse 24, is everybody there? Let's speak, because what you speak is what you eat is what you become. Let's speak it. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes, that means does it, in him who sent me has everlasting life. And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Anybody want to escape the judgment of God? Yeah. That's good. That's a good desire. Hallelujah. Verse 25. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear will live. So you think it's important to hear the voice of God? Yes. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now he mentions him as the Son of God and the Son of Man. Don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to what? Resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. In other words, hell. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So you think it's important that you and I live for the will of the Father, not for our own will. Amen. Amen. Remember, he said something very powerful. He says, Jesus is life. He is life. He was the life giver. He's life. He's the life of all things. He is life. He is not only the Son of God, he's the Son of Man. He's the God of the Word. Amen. He's the Word God. He's the God of the Spirit. He's the God of the Father, all in one, right here in the natural realm, that when he came. All in Jesus, which we call in the land of the living. This is the land of the living. But one day the land of the living is going to be all gone. What he was talking about, something very powerful, and he says that those who hear me and believe me, in other words, follow me and execute those things I ask them to do, because he puts us in an area of protection. Those are what we call boundaries. And there's a time when we must reset and refresh our boundaries. So in this, he's saying, because the Word of God is three-dimensional. It's past, present, and future. And only through the Holy Spirit can you interpret what he's speaking about. So in this, he's speaking about something very powerful. He's speaking of something past of the resurrection, because he's life. He's speaking something present of the resurrection, because he is the resurrection of life. He is life. And he's speaking something of the future, which will be a resurrection to those who have died. Now go to Matthew 27. Now Jesus hanging on the cross. He was dripping blood because he had just been beat, scourged, whipped. Nails were in his feet. They pierced him in the side. That's where you and I were birthed. The same side where the Lord put Adam to sleep, where he took the rib out. That same side is where Jesus was pierced. And blood and water came out. when he was on the cross. So he was dripping blood from seven locations on his body. Seven meaning complete and perfect. In fact, in the Old Testament, they used to sprinkle the blood of the lamb, the sacrifices, on the Ark of the Covenant seven times. So in this, Jesus was dripping blood. The one who gives life was offering life. Because see, nobody could take life from the life giver. He had to give it up. So he's on the cross, dripping blood, paying the price for all mankind, taking all the sins out of man. And in verse 50 it says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split." Now I want you to know something, that when the earth quaked and the rocks were split, it opened up the earth. Does everybody understand that? That means Jesus' blood dripped down into the earth. And there's something that his blood touched. His blood touched the Ark of the Covenant, which was buried thousands of years, hidden by Jeremiah. And God knew exactly where to place that Ark of the Covenant, where Jesus would hang and his blood would drip. And the moment that the earth quaked and the rocks were opened, his blood went down and touched the Ark of the Covenant. And they have found the Ark of the Covenant. But nobody can take it from its place. Anybody who tries to dies. But they have found it. Is that powerful or what? So the earth were quaked. Why? Because the blood always goes before the spirit. Does everybody understand that? And the rocks were split in verse 52. And graves were what? Opened. And many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. In other words, saints, the ones during Jesus' ministry that accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior while Jesus in his ministry for the 3 years that he was doing his ministry, who accepted him, who passed away, who died, those are the ones that rose. Everybody got it? Because once his blood went through, the graves were open. Life hadn't been given to him because the spirit of life hadn't hit yet. Only the blood hit, which opened the graves. So everybody got it? And then it says, and coming out of the graves after Jesus' resurrection, which was 3 days later, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So that's when they came alive. This was the resurrection that he was talking about being present. But there would be one from the past that would be raised, and there'd be one from the future that would be raised, but it'd all be together. Those who have died and those who are raised, and those who are alive. Is everybody okay? Why? Because when the blood hit the Ark of the Covenant, which is known, the first thing it would hit was the mercy seat. It is said that the mercy seat was made from so much gold. In fact, it had the two angels on top of it. That the gold that was on the mercy seat would have been valued about $2 billion. It was a very heavy mercy seat. But that's where the blood went. When it hit the mercy seat that covers the ark, the blood hit the mercy seat. Why? Mercy. God was going to grant mercy. Now, mercy is an area where you cry out to God. When you cry out to God for help, what you're asking for is, have mercy upon me. He answers with grace. Because grace is the plan of God to escape the deception of the enemy and the wrath of God. So by falling from grace means you're no longer falling according to, you're no longer following the plan. See, grace is misunderstood. Grace is not unmerited favor. That's not unmerited favor. You earn God's favor. Grace is unmerited love. That's what grace is. Grace is the unmerited love for me and you. So many people think, I'm saved by grace, I can do whatever I want. No, they're idiots. They're deceived. That's not what the gospel. That's not the gospel, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Who you serve when you die is where you go. Amen? You serve the devil, you go to hell. That's why he said the word believe means to follow. To follow all the way home. That's why he gives me and you the Holy Spirit, so that we can have power to follow. Is everybody okay? Amen. Praise God. So we see that the graves were open. They went in because this is resurrection of life. Why? Because life himself entered the earth. Life himself. Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, hallelujah. First Corinthians 15. In verse 40. It says, there are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Verse 41. Read it with me, please. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body, it is raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, the last Adam, became a what? Life-giving spirit, who is Jesus. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this is powerful. Because this is what we call living hope. It's alive. Anything Jesus touches becomes alive. Has everybody got it? When he touches something, it comes alive. But it becomes alive in the reality of the senses, the sight, the hearing, to be connected to the life giver. We become alive to see. We become alive to hear. We become alive to deny ourselves. We become alive. See, for you and I to stay alive in the realm of the spirit realm, there are things that we must do. One of the things we must do is to drink of the water of life. Without drinking of the water of life, you cannot maintain eternal life in this realm. It is impossible. That's why he calls it living water. Well, if you notice that everything, in other words, man cannot live without water. He can go a lot further without food than he can, but he can't go along without water. Amen? But think about Moses. Moses was with the Lord 40 days, right? He didn't eat or drink, but the presence of God sustained him. Jesus was the life giver. He didn't need food. He could have stayed out there forever. But the devil didn't know that. Amen? Amen. Although he did put on the carnal man in an area where he would hunger and thirst for the things of the world, but he had dominion over it. Amen? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. So Jesus was the second Adam, is a life-giving spirit. In him was the spirit of the Father, the spirit of the Word, and the spirit of life, all in Christ Jesus. This is what gives me and you a living hope. It's faith in the future. Hope is called faith in the future. One of the things about Jesus, who was the living hope, faith in the future, he gave us everything. The result of creation in this dimension is to become one with the first dimension where you and I came from. This is what the Spirit comes to do. He comes to restore Does everybody get this? He comes to restore everything. So many times we're looking at restoring the things that are physical. No, his first desire is to restore you in the state of being before you left home and came here. And that can only be accomplished by continuing to maintain of the water of life. John chapter 4. That's why he was known as living water. See, the water we drink sustains life, but he is living. See, the water we drink sustains natural life, but the water we drink from him through the Spirit sustains eternal life. And this is one of the ploys of the enemy. He doesn't want people to get into the place of drinking of the water of life. If he can prevent people from drinking the water of life, he can keep them in a state of being called carnality. That's where many people call themselves Christians, but they act carnal because they are not drinking of the water of life. John 4, is everybody there in verse 7? A woman of Samaria came to draw water. They were at Jacob's well. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then a woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus didn't care what they were. Amen? Amen. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who gives to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And what is this gift of God? The Holy Spirit. And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" See, she can only think naturally. Carnally. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into" what? "Everlasting life." Then a woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you're shacking up with right now is not your husband. You are living in fornication. And that you spoke truly." What was he trying to tell her? He could not give her living water until she repented and turned away from her sins. Then the woman said to her, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Why? Because he read her dirty laundry. She says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus responded to her, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." Now, here's the key. He says to her, "Look at me, you need to repent, and then you need to start worshiping, because only through worship can you drink of the living water." He said, verse 24, "For God is spirit, and those who worship him must," everyone highlight "must," "worship in spirit and in truth." And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all these things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. She probably passed out. Either she'd throw herself in the well or something. I don't know. It was Jacob's well. Living water is released from God by worship, which is vital to the existence of a new creation in this realm. It is vital to you and me, our existence, to maintain the born-again state of being. It is important. That's why many people fall from the state of worship and fall into the letter. They think just by reading their Bible. In fact, Jesus said to man, you search the scriptures thinking you have life, but you won't come to me and get it. Amen. See, this is the ploy of the enemy. He tries to prevent people from gathering in corporate worship. He tries to prevent people from worshiping God so they can drink of living water. Because without the eternal living water, your existence as a new creation in Christ will cease. You'll become carnal. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. So what the enemy likes to do is he likes to put all kinds of false doctrines and all kinds of other things where people go astray. Those religious doctrines of belief influenced by Satan's kingdom and refuse to teach, you know, teach many places about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, the first gift of God is salvation. The second gift of God is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't mean that you just get baptized once. See, so many people think they get baptized once, it's all over with. Then I can speak in tongues, I'm done. No, that's not true. You must constantly be refilled. Refilled. Because you're constantly being drained. Amen? Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Is everybody okay? In verse 1, Jesus gave the powerful example. Heaven shall be likened 10 virgins. Those are people that were washed by the blood of Jesus, who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. In other words, you get oil by worship. But the wise took oil in their lamps, in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps so they could see. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Look at, no one can give oil to another person. No, you must pay the price yourself. And you pay the price by worship. That's why it's called the sacrifice of praise. Because you worship. You are sacrificing yourself to worship and honor him. And so in that, as you're cooking, because you're sacrificing yourself, you become a sweet aroma. And God begins to put more, because you're becoming on fire. And then he begins to put more oil for the fire. And you begin to drink of living water of life. And the foolish said to the wise, go out, give us some of your oil, for ours is going out. And the wise answered and said, nope. Lest there should not be enough for us and you, go rather to those who sell and go buy yourself. You must purchase your own oil. You also must, by purchasing your oil again, you will be drinking of the living water. And while they went to go buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came along, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Why? Because God is spirit. You know him in spirit. In fact, the word says, no longer acknowledge Jesus according to the flesh. If you were to see him right now, he'd blow your socks off. His radiance and glory is phenomenal. He is pure life. And anything that's in me and you that promotes death would be destroyed by this pure life. It's pure love. He says, therefore, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now, he doesn't just mean coming on the return of the Lord. He also means for an individual, you don't know the day he's coming for you. So it's time to drink and be merry. 1 Peter chapter 1. Living water is the water of life. 1 Peter chapter 1. Again, this is a ploy of the religious spirits which are influenced by Satan's kingdom to prevent people from gathering together to worship. Oh, I can just sit home and read my Bible. He said, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Does everybody understand that? Drink of my blood. That's worship. That's living water. For you to have eternal life. You cannot have one without the other. In 1 Peter chapter 1, is everybody there? In verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in what? Sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification of the Spirit means God sets you apart and positions you. And it can only be done by the Spirit. Jesus was perfectly sanctified. Watch this. Sanctification of the Spirit for what? For obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do on the cross? How did he get there? By sanctification of the Spirit and obedience, right to the cross. Does everybody get it? Right to the what? To the sanctification of the Spirit, to what? Obedience. This is how Jesus was sanctified by the Spirit. He was led to the cross. He shed the blood. He had to be perfectly positioned for that blood to pour on that specific day, to touch the mercy seat on the specific day of Passover. Fulfilling the feast of Passover. Does everybody understand that? Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's go a little bit further. He says, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved where? In heaven for you, who is kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Are we in the last days? Amen. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if in need be, you have been grieved by what? Various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. Are you being tested by fire? Well, you're supposed to be. May be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the what? Salvation of your soul. So it is important that you begin to understand about not only is the sanctification of the Spirit, but by drinking of the living water, the Holy Spirit begins to empower you to be sanctified. Why? Through your worship, which is denying yourself. He's granting you the power to become obedient all the way through. He begins to expose the things in your life that are offensive, that are hindering you. Does everybody understand that? He's bringing us through constantly. Constantly. Why? So that you and I can be a carrier of the water of life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We want the truth, right? Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let's speak it. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. He mean the devil, the powers of darkness, the Antichrist. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, now you notice that's capitalized, that represents the body of Christ, is only he who now restrains will do until he is taken out of the way. Now I want you to know something that's very powerful, because we are no longer in a restraining situation. God has brought, since 2017, a more powerful arena besides restraining. We are infiltrating. We are penetrating. It's no longer a season of restraint. It's a season of penetrate and infiltrate. That's why more believers are going to get exposed that are not right with God. That's why more those who have been taken captive are going to get loose. And it's like almost like a plow that's plowing in and taking over. Light is beginning to take over darkness. It's beginning to eat it up. This is where we are since 2017. Light is beginning to eat up darkness. We are now penetrating. We're no longer just restraining, but we are penetrating. Why? Why are we penetrating darkness? To get as many souls as possible before the restraint is removed. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. And verse 8. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness. I want to go back a minute. With all what? Wait a minute. With the working of Satan with all power, signs, and what? Lying wonders, lying doctrines, all kinds of things. Listen, people are being attacked in their thoughts. That's where the battle is. They don't even realize who told me that. Why do I not want to go into praise? What's preventing a person from wanting to praise and worship God? It's a spirit. Amen? Why? Because the devil does not want you to drink of the water of life. Because you can't exist in the state of being born again in this realm without drinking of the water for life. It is impossible. Hallelujah. So he says, man, look, the lawless one's going to be revealed. It's working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception. Oh, Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. Among those who perish. Look, people are perishing from a born-again state of being to a carnal state. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. Wow. They didn't obey the truth. They did not partake or stop partaking of the living water, which brings every one of us alive. It's alive. It brings life to me and you. This is all pertaining to kingdom life, kingdom living. See, if your priority is not kingdom living, divine order, making sure and desiring God's divine character in you, then you're not drinking of life. Revelation 22. Oh, hallelujah. And just because you speak in tongues, let me share something with you. And I want to share, because this is important. I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, this may sound strange, but there is a dry tongue and there is a wet tongue. Does everybody get it? Because even sometimes you may start off with dry, then you bust through to wet, because life is coming. Amen? But the more your tongue is dry, you're not drinking. Then it's just clamoring sound when you pray in tongues. Does everybody get it? Amen. See, because the more you pray in the Spirit, you may start off dry, but the more you start praying in tongues, man, all of a sudden, man, you hit that... that well of life, and wow, things are changed. And sometimes you even begin to see what you're praying. Oh, glory. Remember, God wants me and you to live in the Spirit. We're supposed to be in the divine character and nature of God, His Son, not some religious idiot. This is not what it's about. We're to be carriers of life. Not traditions. Life. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Praise God. What is Jesus saying? Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, which is what? Living water. And may enter through the gates into the city, but outside are dogs, sorcerers, and sexual immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him who hears say, come, and let him who what? Thirst, come. Whoever does what? Whoever does what? Whoever does what? So you must have a desire, don't you? Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. So you must desire. Well, the word says something powerful. Those who thirst and hunger shall be what? Filled. So you must have a desire. If you don't have a desire, you better get one. You better ask Daddy to give you one. So you and I must maintain the desire to partake of the water of eternal life. But again, the God of this age blinds people. He blinds them to only partake of the letter and not the Spirit. That is the deception that is great. 2 Corinthians 3. In verse 1. Is everybody there? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. Do we again begin to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, which means the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. Why? Because you drink of living water. So you're maintaining that position by drinking of living water. Amen? Or you're no longer just an epistle. You may be a pistol, but not an epistle. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the what? by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. In other words, we've come to a place where we're totally dependent on Him through the Spirit, who also has made us sufficient as ministers of the what? The new covenant. Well, the new covenant is the ministry of the Spirit. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Oh, hallelujah. The letter kills, the Spirit brings life. Many only desire the letter and not the Spirit. And it causes division. Jude chapter 1. Jude 14, verse 14. Jude 14. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all. So you want to make sure that you're one of those saints. Amen. To them of their ungodly deeds, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all of their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So they're not going to get away with it. Amen? It's amazing how, you know, people forget what they've done and never repented for it. God didn't. Verse 16. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust. And they have mouth, great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who do what? Cause divisions, not having the Spirit or not drinking of the living water. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in what? The Holy Spirit, which means tongues. Amen? Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. In other words, use discernment. On others, say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. You know, there's nothing wrong with telling somebody, you're going to hell. Wake up. Hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Does everybody get it? So we're to be carriers of life. But you can't be a carrier of life if you're not drinking of the water of life. Amen? People that are not partaking of the water of life, the river of life, and only partaking of the letter. See, because the water is a representation of the anointing. That's why the word says the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. Jesus came to bring me and you life, and life abundantly through the Spirit, not through the letter. Listen, the Bible wasn't around when the apostles were here. The only thing they had was the Holy Spirit, and they carried life with them. Life. Hallelujah. Acts 2. In verse 36, glory. See, if the powers of darkness knew what was going to happen when they were promoting the death of Jesus, they wouldn't have done it. Boy, did they blow it. My dad set them right up. They thought they were so wise. He outwitted them. The serpent is still eating his own tail. Hallelujah. Verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, or influenced by the devil to crucify him, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, what? Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So it is a promise. Not only to be baptized in the Holy Spirit once, but continue to be refreshed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Has everybody got that? Again, the first gift is salvation. The second gift is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then we become carriers of the water of life. I want to close at Ephesians 4. Living water. Eternal living water. There's a temporary living water, but there's the eternal living water. That's the one we drink from. Glory. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Is everybody there? Amen. Hallelujah. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to the work of all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned the anointing. Why? Because you're not drinking of the water of life. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. Well, you know what? We can't do that in our own strength. You can't. That's why you got to worship. You got to come and drink. You got to come and eat. You got to eat eternal food and drink eternal drink to maintain eternity in this realm. Because darkness is always trying to overcome me and you. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And be renewed in the what? In the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the what? The new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and what? And holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Nor give place to the devil who will drain you. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all what? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So it says, therefore be imitators of God as what? Dear children, you can't do that without drinking of the living water. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Thank you for opening our eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive of the deception of influence of the enemy that tries to prevent us from drinking of the water of eternal life. And we ask, Lord, that what you have told us today not only be protected, but it would grow. That we continue to be thirsty and hungry for your righteousness so we can stay filled with your Spirit. And so that we can see those things that you want us to see, hear those things that you want us to hear, and follow you all the way home, being carriers of eternal life in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.